Good morning. The reading is from Psalm 31, and it's on page 559 in the Church Bible. Verses 1 to 8. Psalm 31, verses 1 to 8. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Free me from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not handed me over to the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. Praise be to God.
I always think it's going to attack me if it's that close. Celebrate God all day, every day, as we celebrate today the God of truth. But maybe, though, we need to ask ourselves the same question that was asked over 2,000 years ago by Pontius Pilate. Remember Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judah, who he was the only one who could give the order to have Jesus crucified. And Jesus stood there on trial in front of him. And they had an interchange between the two of them. Pilate goes, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "Is that your own idea? Or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew? It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you've done? My kingdom's not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." Oh, you are a king then. You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born. For this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone is on the side of truth. Who is on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Pilate, the conversation ends there, with Pilate having said, "What is truth?" And in a way, that's partly one of the fundamental questions of the sermon today. That conversation between Pilate and Jesus is recorded in John's Gospel. Remember earlier, in the same Gospel, we read Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." But it's still, what is the definition of truth? One of the dictionaries I looked up had 11 different definitions of the word. We're not going to look at that one. The Oxford English had three main ones. One of them was the quality or state of being true. He had to accept the truth of her accusation. Also the truth, that which is true or in accordance with facts or reality. So you tell the truth. She found out the truth about him. a fact or belief that's accepted as true. The emergence of scientific truth, we talked about, fundamental truths about mankind. But then it went on. In truth, reality, in fact, in truth, she was more than a little unhappy. To tell you the truth, these are areas where we use it. To be frank, used especially when making an admission. I think if truth be told, we were all a little afraid of him. To tell you the truth, I've never met the guys. Sort of gives weight to what we're saying. And in truth, in sentencing, we have this constant call for tougher sentences and truth in sentences. And then, of course, you have that, what is said in court, in truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Again, used to emphasise. Truth. But it can be a slippery customer. Truth may not always be the truth that we think it is. Remember the truth of what we see with our eyes. Earlier in the service, they can be fooled. So can we say truth is what we see? Not always. Let's just take a simple sentence, right? What could be simpler than to say grass is green? So one question, why is grass green? Because you've told me that grass is green, but I might see it as red or blue. But because I don't want to be different to the crowd, I say, yeah, grass is green. I say, you know, that's fine. Of course, it doesn't have to be green. If you go to funerals as often as I do, you will see grass that's black, red, blue, every colour of the rainbow, because they spray it now with spray paint or some stuff, so they can get any colour flower they want in the wreaths. Of course, the more people that say grass is green, even if it really is red, then more people are going to say it's green. But is this a test for truth, i.e., the majority say it's green, so it must be green? Well, think about a couple of years back when still a large percentage of the population say that 52% of our population got it wrong when they voted for something. So because the majority voted for it, others say it doesn't mean it's right. Because the majority say grass is green, doesn't necessarily mean it's the truth. So back to grass is green. What happened if you were to live the whole of your life in an environment like that? On the top of snow and ice. And somebody said to you, you know, grass is green. And your first question is, what's grass? You've never seen any grass in your whole life. So you don't know what grass is. So you say, well, describe it to me. Well, I haven't got a description of grass, but one very famous description is of the true game of cricket. Right? Think about it. You've found somebody. Does anybody here not have a clue of the rule of what cricket is? Oh, that's good. But, so you could explain it to somebody else. But this is the one way it goes. It says, you have two sides, one out in the field and one in. Each man that's in the side that's in goes out. And when he's out, he comes in and the next man goes in until he's out. When they are all out, the side that's out come in and the side that has been in goes out and tries to get those coming in out. Sometimes you get a man still in and not out. When a man goes out to go in, the men who are out trying to get him out, and when he is out, he goes in, and the next man goes in, out, goes out, and goes in. There are two men called umpires who stay out all the time. and they decide when the men who are in are out. When both sides have been in and all the men have been out, and both sides have been out twice and all the men have been in, including those who are not out, that is the end of the game. So simple, isn't it? I'm surprised no, everybody doesn't know about cricket. Of course, that's just prior to when you talk about the man going out has a widish bit of stick and he tries to defend from a ball, three sticks that are circular, and across the top are two smaller circular sticks, cylindrical sticks. Cylindrical, not cylindrical. It gets very confusing. And you see, until you sometimes experience something, the grass is green, grass, how do you know the truth of a statement that says the grass is green? You've never seen grass. You know, after that, I know after that run through cricket, you're all going to rush out this summer and see a cricket match. You can't not. So if we've never experienced anything, we can't really talk about truth. The truth of an object. We need to experience something to talk truthfully about it. But truth may have nothing really, though, to do with the reality. Maybe something that goes on up here in our minds. One man I met quite a few years ago now in a coffee bar situation. He believed that there was no reality. That was his starting point. So all the reality took place up here. So it was all in the mind. And we said, what about other people? Oh, he said, we have a collective mind. So that if I say the grass is green, and then the next person does, then we're all seeing grass that's green. And it's all happening up here. Well, one day, I was walking along with some friends, and we saw this man coming towards us. And he'd obviously been in a fight, judging by his face. What we wanted to say, but nobody had, because he was quite a big fella, nobody wanted to have the courage to say was, were the punches that you felt painful or was it just in your mind? And they weren't painful at all. We didn't ask him that, but he wasn't quite so strong on what he believed after that either. But the norm today, of course, is that there is only relative truth. There is only relative truth, not absolute truth. Relative truth came in big with modernity. I was always upset with modernity. Modernity. Because I was always 1 year above when modernity. So when I reached 40, it was those 30 under 40s. When I reached 50, it's the 40s and under. So I was never a modernistic person, according to the stats. But what's modernity? Well, it says, my view is my view, and that's fine, but your view is your view, and that's fine. My view of truth is how I see truth. Your view of truth is quite all right, and that's how you see it. That's how you see it. I have my opinions, my reality, my beliefs, but they're mine. Whether they are, well, they are true to me, but they don't have to be true to you. It's all relative. But I make up my own truth. So what does that mean if we say and we talk about the God of truth? If God is relative proof and has to be experientially proven, then we end up possibly with a different set of beliefs. We end up with different gods. Recently on the television, there was a program, and I remember when it was first came out, it was about Mount Carmel community at Waco, Texas. What happened was there was a group, and at 6 a.m. on the 19th of April, 1993, FBI agents moved in to end a 51-day standoff with this community at Waco, Texas, or near Waco, Texas. They rammed holes in the group's compound with armoured vehicles, sprayed tear gas inside. About 6 hours later, a few hours later, it was then turned into an inferno, as you can see from that picture. 9 people escaped the building. The report was that at least 76 people died, including 24 teenagers and children. They couldn't really tell the exact number because the bodies were too intertwined. But at least 20 people, including their leader, David Koresh, were shot with a shotgun, and a 3-year-old had stab wounds in the 3-year-old. David Koresh took the group down a different set of truths. The group were actually started off as an offshoot, and still would say there were still some survivors of that, and still were saying we are Seventh-day Adventists, and that's a group around that's quite, you know, peace-loving, not into killing themselves, But David Koresh took them down a series of other truths, and it ended up in mass suicide with that. That's an extreme case, this sort of thing. We have the God of experience ourselves and make God then in my or our image. God wants us to do this and not to do that. God's like this, and so that can lead to different gods, different organizations. The God of truth stands for the God of relative truth, and it also means that all paths can begin to lead to God. One truth could be the Hindu path, another the Islamic path, another the Jewish path, another the Christian path. And so the list can go on. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. By saying that his truth was relative, it makes Jesus a liar. Not the first part when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, because that could mean relative truth, the truth, wherever you are. It's the second part. Because if he says, no one comes to the Father but by me, then he's saying that's a statement. We would say that's true. But others don't know, because if it's relative, then others can get to God through another means. Psalm 31, verse 5, which we read earlier today, says, into your hands I commit my spirit, O Lord, the God of truth. A meaningless prayer, unless God is absolute truth. One of my lecturers at theological college, happened to be a Baptist minister as well, but had a PhD in philosophy. He said in a lecture, something I've never forgotten, I hold on to, he said, for there to be relative truth, it has to be relative to an absolute truth. There still has to be absolute truth for relative truth to be relative to. Or to put it another way, the fact that absolute truth does exist points to the truth that there, that's the absolute truth, in a sovereign God. To a sovereign God. The God of truth. The cry in that psalm is, redeem me. Pray to a God of truth. The God of absolute truth. God would never indulge in anything like, I suppose, the modern day equivalent is fake news, as we have today. God has sent a Redeemer. Whatever others may say, or else everything he says, everything he promises, isn't worth anything. If it's all relative, we can just believe what we want. Some say that Jesus didn't really come to earth and live as a human being. He couldn't because he's God. Well, on earth he was 100% God, and he was 100% human being. How that happens, I don't know. But I know it's true because he's the God of absolute truth. Some would say that he didn't really come to earth because he couldn't have died on the cross. He could not have died because he was God. But he did die. The only sacrifice that could rid us of our sin, because he is the God of truth. Some say that Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. It was all made up. Well, if he didn't die, he didn't rise from the dead either. But even if he died, the body was taken away. But he rose. He went to heaven. And one day he will return. Because he is the God of truth. Absolute truth. Beware fake news. Or any other way of talking about relative truth. Because you can keep shifting the truth to suit oneself. There seems to be a man in the world today who does that quite successfully, some would say. I'll leave you to work out who it is. But as that psalmist in Psalm 31 says, he says, we need to let God be our refuge. That's to give our lives totally to God. Hook, line and sinker. To get to know him better and better, so that any fake news about God doesn't shake our faith in the God of truth. Absolute truth. Also says to let God be our rock, to be stable. Absolute truth. He's our fortress. Things may not go the way we want, but God is our rock, something unchangeable. Rocks in the Psalms were seen to be unchangeable. We now know that over hundreds, thousands of years, rocks will erode through water, through frost, through sand, through lots of different means. But the psalmist sees a rock as something permanent, something that is unchangeable. So that's why God is often compared to a rock. God of truth. So as we follow the God of truth, it says, for the sake of God's name, let him lead and guide us. We should be guided by the God of truth. So we need to learn that truth. We need to hold on to that truth. And not be swayed. As Jesus stood in front of Pontius Pilate, and Pilate asked, what is truth? Little did he know, truth has actually stood in front of him. But he didn't pursue it. So as we celebrate God all day, every day, we celebrate the fact that he is the God of truth. So we can also say, into your hands I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. We need to keep on celebrating God. Let's pray.